All right. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we begin. Father, we come before Thee, O Lord, this morning. Lord, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father. Help us be faithful to You, Lord. Fill us with Your Spirit. Give us wisdom. As we open Your Word, help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to extend greetings to you this morning, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our King. Our King. I wish we could understand King. We grew up in a society that says you're your own king. You can do whatever you want. You can pursue your own dreams. You can pursue your own goals. And your life is yours. We don't know what a king is. I think it's really hard to establish the idea of a kingdom where Christ is the king when we don't even have a clue of what a king or a kingdom is. But it's not impossible. As we yield our lives to Him to be the king of our lives, we can enter His kingdom. We can understand what it is to have a king. I think that's one thing that has polluted Christianity today. Is this idea that we can just pick and choose and we're free and our goal and pursuit is happiness. We can live our lives for ourselves, to make ourselves happy. That's so far from the truth. God is interested in being the king of our life. And not just living and creating us for us, creating us just to make ourselves happy. So we want to just welcome you here in behalf of that King. The King who created us. The King who wants to rule over us. And He will rule over us, or He will crush us. There's no us being part kings with Him. He is King. Or He is nothing. In war, men conquer their enemies. Therefore, they have peace because they have one king. They don't just make peace and make nice. There's a real submission and a real repentance and a real returning to who is the king of our life. And if He is the king of our life, and we believe that, we'll take His words and put them into practice in our life. We'll live on every word that He speaks. we'll die by every word that he speaks. I was blessed this morning by the music, the songs, the hymns that we sang. And I really, that little song, I'd forgotten about it for so long. I will not bow down to your images and pray. Just so blessed by that. You know, if we have that attitude, we don't need a bunch of rules to tell us how to live. All we need is a king to follow. And when we follow that king, we're going to get along with people who love and follow that king. Let's turn to Matthew. Chapter 10, verse 38. We could start a little further ahead there. Explains a little more, but this is enough for now. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. If we're not going to take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and make them the rule of our life, we are not worthy of him. Little mamby-pamby gospel that says, oh, I'm not worthy, I can't obey. You're not worthy, you're right. And you're not worthy of him if you will not obey. All have sinned and come short. You're right, we all have. But that's not an excuse for obeying. It's been twisted into a little crutch and a little excuse to say, well, we're all sinners. Well, I will not bow down to that. You're right, I've sinned. You're right, I'm still capable of sinning. But Jesus, my King, redeemed me from the bondage of the devil, the king of this world, and set me free from this wicked king. And now I've got a new king. And I want to be just as loyal to him as I was to that other wicked one. Whatever it cost. Whatever it cost. The verse before this says, he that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Luke 14 says it three times, that he cannot be my disciple if a man will not forsake his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his lands. even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Why? Because he ain't worthy. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43. Ye have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. People have this idea and this false concept in the world that, oh, we're all just God's children. And God is love, and God loves everyone, and God will love the sinner, and God will love you just reveling in your sin. And that's right. Your God does. But my Father doesn't. Your King loves you in your sin. And he may have hijacked the name of Jesus Christ, but it still ain't who he is. Unless you hear the words of Christ, Jesus said himself, and put them into practice in your life, you are not a son of the Father. You're born again into that family. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. When you hear the words and do the words of Christ, you may become a child of the King. It's not just being delivered from sin. Jesus, I read this morning that Jesus came to the world to heal all people. They brought all people unto him of diverse sicknesses, of lunatics, people who were tormented, people who were possessed, and Jesus healed them. There were very few people that went on to become his followers. There were very few people that went on to be the children of the Father. What a privilege and what a blessing it is to have a King that would come down from heaven and ransom us from the wicked king of this world. That would give his life so that we could be set free from the king of this world. What a king is that? He didn't have to do that. He went the extra mile to do that. He went beyond what he needed to do or had to do so that he could deliver us from the power of death, from the hold and stronghold of the wicked king of this world, that has got people who he has taken into captivity at his own will. And he tormented them. He possessed them. He brought all the evils into the world, into this wicked world. Made it wicked. And the rightful king left heaven, left all the glories that we can't even begin to fathom, and came down to this dark, sinful, hurtful, wicked battleground of his enemy, and submitted himself to being a man. Faced all the temptations and overcame them so that Satan had no hold on him any longer. He had no hold on him at all. We're the ones that have that he has no hold on any longer. Never had a hold on him. And he overcame him. He didn't have to pay him anything. He overcame him by not yielding to him. And he had to face death, because at death, Satan claims his own. And he takes them to a place where he keeps them. And the only way into that place is death. Jesus died to get into that place. Reminds me of the missionaries. Two young men sold themselves into slavery. There was a man owned an island and he had a plantation on it back a couple hundred years ago. And he had a plantation on this island and he vowed never to let a missionary or a preacher on that island. So two young men volunteered and sold themselves into slavery so they could get on that island, knowing that they would never return alive. So that they could take the message of the kingdom onto that island. They became slaves, because they had a king. Jesus came into this world and had to sell himself to death to get to this place where men were held captive in hell. And he took the keys of death and hell, because death and hell had no hold on him. He overcame. That's why he came into the world. He didn't come into this world to pretend like you become a Christian. You can live like you want to. He came in this world to set you free from this world. Not that you could mumble around through life saying, "Oh, I'm just a sinner. I'm going to live in this world and I'm just going to do the best I can." He came in it to overcome it, And if you're going to be worthy of that kingdom, that's going to be your goal and purpose. Those three Hebrew boys, they did not bow down to the evil king and pray. They went to the fire. They got thrown in the fire because they were living their lives for something much higher than what this world offers. They were willing to lose their lives. Why? Because they'd already lost them. No man can take from you what you've already given away. No one can take from you what you've already given away. If you've given your life away to Christ, nobody can take it from you. You give it freely. You offer it to the Lord. And if you give your life and you've lost it for the Lord, there isn't a bullet in the world, there ain't a knife in the world that can take your life from you. Nobody can take it from you. Because you've already given it away, and it has no hold on you anymore. That's what it means to die. That's what it means to live for Jesus. You're already dead. And no one can take it from you anymore. They can't take your life away. They cannot hurt you anymore. If your pride's dead, they can't hurt your pride anymore. If your pride's still alive, it'll get hurt once in a while. And I'm sorry to say that it'll heal. You'll get it back. Just keep licking your wounds. Just keep crying. Just keep whining around for yourself if someone's hurt you. Your pride will heal. It'll be just as strong as ever one of these days. Let it die. Let it die. Quit trying to heal it. If it dies, they can't hurt you anymore. Lose your life. Don't bow down to that stupid pride. Jesus said, forgive your enemies. Jesus said, forgive those who've trespassed against you. Someone does us wrong, we got to have 10 meetings and get it all figured out and get it all straightened out. So blessed this week. A couple of people had a little bit of a run-in. You say, blessed? You bet, blessed. You bet, blessed. I learned a lot. I've tried to talk people into agreements, give them the peace that the world offers. It's so phony. I wanted them to talk. And the first thing both of them did was begin to have to explain their position. And I heard it, and I thought, this is going to just explode. This ain't going to work. And I said, that's not what I want. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I don't want you to say anything else. I want you to forgive each other and walk away. You know what? I learned a big lesson. I learned a lesson in the church. I learned that forgiveness is more than just saying, I forgive you. It's more than just forcing your child to say, oh, I'm sorry. And you know they're not sorry. But they said it, so everybody feels a little better. Jesus said, unless you forgive from the heart, I begin to think about how deep is our non-resistance. You know, sometimes whenever somebody does us wrong, we just glory in it and we just feel like a martyr. Well, we've missed it. Whenever we forgive someone from the heart, there's no longer suspicion about that person anymore. There's no longer a need to get all things cleared up anymore. There's no longer a need to express my side of the issue anymore. There's no need for justice anymore. There's forgiveness. Jesus didn't die to give God justice. God forgives. And where forgiveness is, there's no need for justice. Not a drop of it. Not one drop of need for justice when there's forgiveness. You may think you have forgiveness for all the evil that's bothering your conscience. And that's fine. But who's your king? We're not going to go to hell because we got a dirty conscience. Men are going to go to hell because they're following the king of this world. And following the king of this world into sin will give you a dirty conscience. Well, you might get your conscience cleaned up, but that doesn't mean you've changed kings. You might feel better in your conscience because the sins of your past ain't looming over you. But that's not going to be the issue on Judgment Day, whether you have a clear conscience or not. We're going to be judged by whose king we've, who the king of our life is. And it's either going to be Christ or it's going to be Satan. And if it's not Christ, it's Satan. Cut and dry. If your king on the judgment day isn't the king, Lord Jesus, it's going to be found that your king is Lord Satan, no matter what this world calls him. How deep is our non-resistance? Can you forgive without any suspicion anymore? Well, I'll forgive them, but I'm going to keep a sharp eye on them. Well, you haven't forgiven from the heart. I'd say that's a false forgiveness. I'll forgive them, but it's false. Whatever you had after that. They might not step right in line, just like multitudes whom God forgives don't ever turn to Him. But He forgives them anyway. He gives them an opportunity to return. Forgiveness will not get you into heaven. Being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, being a disciple of the King, is what's going to get you there. Being worthy of the King. Not by your own value, but by your devotion and your heart to obey Him. Well, it'll ruin my reputation. Well, if you've died to your reputation, you can't be ruined. What will people think of me? You're still alive and kicking. Verse 44, but I say unto you, 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God is good. God is good. And that's all there is to it. And He's trying all He can to show you that He is the King worthy to be served. So much so that He'll forgive you. The just and the unjust. And give you an opportunity to allow Him to be your King, no matter what it costs you, and it don't matter what it costs you. There will be a price tag, and it will be expensive if it's still yours. if you lose your life, you'll find it. If you'll die, you'll find life. If they take something from you, you know, nobody can take anything from me. Because I don't have anything. Anything I might be charged with or given a little time to hold, it's not mine. Not mine at all. Nobody can take money from me. Nobody can steal one thing from me. Because it's not mine. It's God's. It doesn't matter. Now, if it's mine, I'm going to get upset. If it's mine, it's going to bother me. But if it's not mine, you can't take it from me. You might take it from God, but you can't take it from me. Because it ain't mine. I don't know. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. What a blessing. What a commandment. People are so scared to death of commandments. And they say, oh, this is a commandment. I'm going to keep it. Well, why don't they keep this one? This is just as much a commandment as thou shalt not kill. Be ye therefore perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Does that mean you won't ever make a mistake? No, it sure does not. But I can love my King and obey Him. And whenever it comes to bowing down to your evil gods, forget it. We need people with principles, with loyalty to their King. First Corinthians chapter 6. dare any of you, verse 1, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If ye then have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? You don't think Jesus suffered himself to be defrauded when he came into this world? You better believe he did. He wound up hanging between two thieves. What do you think his reputation looked like? When people come walking by, just another thief getting what he deserves. But he suffered himself to be defrauded. Why don't we just take the wrong? Just take the wrong. Not with an attitude of, well, I'll just take it. I'll be a martyr. No. Take it gladly. Take it gladly. Whenever we've lost all of our rights, no one can take one of them away from us, because we don't have any. When we've lost our life, no one can take it from us, because we've already given it away. When we've lost our money, no one can take it from us, because we've already given it away. When we've lost our reputation, no one can take it from us, because we've already given it away. When we've lost our standing in this world, no one can take it from us. Be ye therefore perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. when we've given ourselves in marriage. No one can take that from us because we've given it. We've given ourselves to another person. Whether they're faithful or whether they're loyal or not, we can be loyal to them. We can be perfect. That's what Jesus is trying to teach us in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Lose your life. Lose your rights. Lose your money. Lose your reputation. Lose what you're living for, and nobody can take it away from you. Blessed. That's what it's all about. Whose king are you? Whose king do you have? Who's king? Who is king of your life? What does it mean to have a king? His blessings to His Word. May we understand what it means to be a king, to have a king. A king that, whenever he was wronged, went silently to the cross. When he was accused falsely, he didn't have to have the last word. He didn't have to prove his point. All he had to do was be faithful to the Father. And that's all he wants of us. Just be a loyal servant. Our reputations may get hurt for a little while. We may get brought down a little bit, a few notches sometimes. But don't bow down then. That's the time to stand. Don't bow down to the old king of this world, the wicked king of this world. Stand right up. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Help us be faithful to you, Lord. God, we just ask your blessing upon your words. We thank you for them, Lord. We ask again you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen.